This is Sid and Friends in the Morning. How many of us have
them? 77 WABC.
Diana Ross, she coming out. Diana Ross, one of the greatest of all time, celebrating her 80th birthday today. Lou, make this a little louder. She coming out.
There's a new me coming out, and I just have to live, and I want to give. I'm completely positive. I think this time around, I am going to do it like you never knew it. Oh, I'll make it through.
Big birthday day today on Sid and Friends in the Morning. Steven Tyler, Aerosmith, 77 today. This great artist, Diana Ross, gotta love her, 80. And our very own Curtis Sliwa. Happy birthday to the icon, the legend, Mr. Guardian Angel, Curtis Sliwa, 70 years old, young today. All right, so the UN resolution goes through yesterday for a ceasefire. And the president, the United States, the president had another opportunity to veto this, as he's done before, and he abstained, showing his true colors. And again, you know, Alan Dershowitz can fight with me all day. It doesn't matter. I mean, I have been on this from day one. When Alex Trayman comes on, and he's great, Alex, there is no better way to follow Israel than JNS.org. Trust me, if you care about Israel, really care, you got to be on JNS.org. That's the bottom line, okay? So when I tell Alex October 9th, he's no friend, and Alex comes on and goes, no, but he did a good job. Like Alan said today, he has to go back, Biden, to the way he was October 7th. And I say, what are you talking about? October 6th, he was still giving money to Iran. There was never a day when Joe Biden was pro-Israel. Not when you're part of two administrations loosening sanctions and giving money to Iran. I don't care what he says on Fox News. It means nothing. He's never been that guy. Even Menachem Begin didn't like him. Even he told Joe Biden to shut up. So now he's showing his true colors. And Alex is in Israel this morning. And I have to imagine, Mr. Trayman, that the Israelis are as pissed as I've been since October the 9th. Yes?
More so by the day, allowing this UN resolution to pass. This is one of the fundamental items of the partnership that Israel really has always counted on the United States for, which is to veto anti-Israel resolutions at the United Nations. And those come up, by the way, all the time, more against Israel than not only against any other country, but against all other countries combined. There's more resolutions that come up against Israel, and the United States continuously vetoes those resolutions. So the fact that they have now allowed this resolution to pass, albeit a non-binding resolution, it's still an indication that Israel really cannot count on the United States to defend it inside this anti-Israel, anti-Semitic forum, which is known as the United Nations.
Why did it take till March 26th? I know you need us. I get it. You need the money. You need the weaponry. I get all that. But how many times has Biden, has America, Obama and Biden shown you guys that you can't count on them? They're funding the enemy. Why did it take till March 26th?
Well, yeah, like you said, I think the most important part is not really the money, it's the armaments. Israel has been basically husbanding weaponry that it could be using in the fight against Gaza in case it has to have a war with Hezbollah in the north, because they can't really depend on whether the United States will quickly restock it. Israel is more or less completely dependent on American and to a certain part German rearmaments as part of the defense deals. People think that the United States just gives Israel money and Israel can do what it wants with it. No, Israel can't do what they want with it. They have to spend that money back in the United States. So they're dependent on American arms. So, you know, you can't just like get into a fight with the Americans, because if you want to fight a war, you do actually desperately need their support for weapons, and also at the United Nations and elsewhere. The United States, they are the ones that tell the European nations what to do with regard to the policies. So, you know, coming out and being opposed to the United States on day one, you know, wasn't necessarily a good strategy. It was let's wait and see and let's hope for the best.
Right. No, I get it. I'm just, you know, I knew from day one, but you're right. You can't operate that way. So let's get to what Israel does now. The UN, they want a ceasefire today. They've got that resolution. The United States didn't veto it, so clearly they're okay with it. But something tells me that Bibi is not okay with it, because any moron should be able to figure out that there are still battalions, enemy Hamas battalions in Rafah. The head terrorist, including Sinwar, he's in Rafah. The hostages, how many are left, I don't know. Who knows? Maybe 30, maybe 40. But they're in Rafah. So why would you not go into that place when clearly that is where the war has to end? Bibi knows this. So no matter what the UN says or Biden says, my feeling is he's got to go in, and he will go in. What do you think?
Well, they're going to go in. You know, Anthony Blinken was here on Friday, and of course he was demanding a ceasefire and demanding that Israel offer, you know, more and more in the hostage negotiations, which continues to weaken Israel's position, as does the passing of this UN resolution. But I can assure you that the prime minister and the members of the war cabinet gave Blinken an answer that he didn't want to hear, which is that they're going into Rafah no matter what.
What are they waiting for? How long are they waiting to do this?
Well, that's a good point that, you know, that they probably already would have gone in to Rafah if it wasn't for the United States. And although it's not only a question of if to go in, it's a question of how. And the United States does want to see Israel come up with a plan to move the million or so Gazan residents that are now in Rafah. And remember, they were all pushed from their houses in the north down into the southern last section of Gaza, which is Rafah, which is the reason why the terrorist leaders and the hostages are all holed up there, because they went with all the civilians. So you've got a million civilians. I mean, I don't want to call them innocent civilians. That would be the wrong terminology, but a million people in this area. And so the question is, you know, how do you do targeted operations with the massive military force while you have all those people there? So Israel is looking for ways where they can move and basically set up a new refugee camp, so to speak, in areas that are just north of Rafah. And I think that you're going to see the migration of these people and the establishment of humanitarian, you know, distribution points and tents and other things like that to move civilian population first before the IDF goes in a major way.
This is Alex Trayman, my dear friend, the CEO of JNS.org. If you're keeping up with what's going on in Israel, that's the place to go, folks. I read it every morning. So should you, JNS.org. So if you ought to give me a percentage, I know it's anecdotal. You haven't spoken to every Israeli, but I'm sure you've done polls at this at JNS. What do you think the percentage is of Israelis that show the middle finger to Biden and the United States and want to go into Rafah?
Well, I think that the percentage of those that want to go into Rafah is 85%. But I will tell you that there are Israelis here that are afraid that the United States is becoming a fair weather friend, that are afraid that Israel's position gets weaker and weaker if the United States not only doesn't aid Israel when Israel requests it, but actually is operating against Israel and is is working to isolate Israel and is working to actually drive the price of the hostage negotiations with Hamas up and actually strengthening Hamas in the process. We had Hamas on the ropes over here, and now what the United States is doing is basically telling Israel you can't finish them off, you can't go in and get their head leaders and get them out. And also by passing this resolution, they're driving the price of hostage negotiations up and up to the point where Hamas just pulled out of the last negotiations, saying that their price is now going to be higher than it was before. This is all being done by the United States, and it's making Israelis very, very upset and scared for what will be the future of the country without American support.
I mean, the United States, they're so stupid. This is the Hamas playbook. When Sinwar sat down with these animals years ago or last year, whatever it was, and made this plan, he said, you're going to take the hostages, and we're going to watch as the U.S. knees buckle. This is exactly from the Hamas playbook. We don't get that. So I was glad to see Bibi decide not to send the delegates to Washington. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, it's definitely a public display of dispute. But at the same time, the defense minister of Israel, Yoav Gallant, is going to the United States. So it's on the one hand, yeah, they pulled back Dermer and Hanegbi, who's the national security advisor, from going, made a public spectacle out of it. But the defense minister is still going. So it's not like that the cooperation or the conversations have been completely broken off.
All right. So, you know, of course, my loyalty to President Trump, how close I am with him, how much I love him. And we all know what he did for Israel. But there's been a number of people who have said to me, boy, I got to tell you, Trump, when he was president, was the greatest president ever to Israel. But you know what? Since October the 7th, I haven't heard nearly enough. You know, maybe he just feels like Biden continues to kill himself every day, so that's going to work for him come election time. Maybe he also was worried about votes in Michigan, but I haven't heard enough. And then a couple of days ago, yesterday, Trump came out and talked about Israel. What were your thoughts?
Well, he said that Israel needs to finish up as fast as possible, and I think that he's right. He could have taken that statement a little bit further to say that the reason why Israel's not going as fast as possible is because the Biden administration is slowing Israel down. But he also said that the pictures that are coming out of Gaza are doing terrible for Israel's public image and their PR, and that Israel's bad at the PR. And I think that he could have been much stronger and to say that he would give Israel his full support no matter what, and that if anybody doesn't want to see images of civilians and babies and women getting killed in Gaza, then they should put all that blame on Hamas for taking, crossing Israel's border, taking 250 hostages, killing 1,200 people on a single day, and then hiding among civilians inside Gaza. He could have put the blame of what's going on squarely on Hamas and told everybody that he would give, if he was president, Israel a free rein to finish the job as fast as possible, not just Hamas, but also Hezbollah, and also to identify that the key source here is Iran. And he could have put Iran on notice and said that if he gets back into the White House, that he's going to do whatever he can to make sure that Iran can no longer be the world's largest state sponsor of terrorism.
He did say all of that with me on the show last Tuesday. But in all fairness, you're right. You guys want to hear that. So there's a bit of disappointment. But he did say all of that. He said, Sid, Iran was dead and they'll be dead again. But they were dead when he was on last Tuesday. So let's move now from Hamas, which is all everybody talks about, the ceasefire in Gaza, to the north, because this has been an ongoing conversation, too. You know, certain days you come on, you're like, well, Hezbollah fired this amount of rockets yesterday or today, so it's becoming real. But now we're months and months later. Is it any more real today than it was when I was with you in Jerusalem in January? What is the situation in the north?
Well, they continue to fire into Israel. Just today, Israel fired very deep back inside Lebanese territory. So you definitely see the exchange of fire. Hezbollah has not launched long-range missiles into Israel yet. They haven't launched long-range precision-guided missiles with major payloads yet. So they are definitely holding back, and Israel's also holding back, but at the same time continuing to attack each other across the border. The feeling here in Israel is that this is going to happen, but among the military brass here, they really don't, if they can help it, they don't want to be fighting two fronts at the same time, because they want to be able to move their troops, move their tanks, and move their missile defense up to the north to fight Hezbollah and have only a single front at one time.
So on the way out, going back to the UN resolution and the United States once again stabbing Israel in the back, Alex Trayman, CEO JNS, gun to your head right now. I hate to use that as an example, but going into Rafah, Bibi, 100%.
100%.
Wow. Okay. You're the best. You really are. I know you're going to be up here sometime in the spring, but the question is, who gets to see who first? You, me in New York, or me back in Israel again to see you? Because I actually missed the place that badly. And I missed Shabbos dinner with you, Tzippi, and the family. So thank you for coming on today. We'll do it again next week, buddy. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Sid. Looking forward.
You're great. Alex Trayman right there, folks, the CEO of JNS. And that's all you need to know right there. That 15 minutes told you all you need to know about the Israeli mindset, the Bibi mindset, and how disappointed the Israelis are with Joe Biden and the United States.